There was an event at the 1988 Summer Olympics in Seoul, Korea that I want to begin with drawing your attention to. All the great fastest athletes of the world, men athletes of the world, were gathered together to run the 100-meter sprint. And they were in their place on the blocks, and the gun released them, and off they went. And out of the crowd of athletes, the group of athletes that were running the race, there were clearly two that were head and shoulders above the rest. They were outdistancing the rest of the athletes running that particular race on that particular day. And I remember watching this on television, and I wanted to say, young people, yes, televisions existed then. So I actually saw this on television, this event occurred. The racers were running down the track. The two that were in the lead were about 2 to 3 meters from the end, and one of them made the fatal error that all athletes are warned not to do. He turned and looked at the one running next to him. And he, in a sense, lost. He came in second. Now, you that are sprinters, and you can tell by my looking at me that I'm not one, you that are sprinters know, and you've been drilled into you, that never, never, never do you look sideways at those running next to you. You keep your eye on the goal. And it was in that race that Carl Lewis came in second to Canadian Ben Johnson. Now, some of you that remember will quibble with me and say, well, he didn't really lose because Ben Johnson was disqualified for drug use. But that being aside, he lost the race. And you and I, the Bible communicates, talks about the walk of faith, the living the Christian life as a race. In several different passages, and there are things that can trip us up or drag us down or distract us from our race. In the book of Galatians, as Paul is exhorting the Christians there, he asks them that specific question. He says, you were running a good race, the NIV has it, who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? The ESV has it, you were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? And in this passage that we're looking at today, Paul's talking about us running a race or persevering in our Christian walk, and there's things that get in the way, and he's going to give us some suggestions and some directions on how we can stay on the path. And the things that he brings up that get in the way, that distract us, that hinder us from continuing in the race and reaching the final goal, he brings up a little later on in these verses, beginning at verse 18. And it grieves him to have to bring all this up, and he uses strong words, but he makes the point, as I've often told you before and now say again, even with tears, he lists several different things that hinder them from running the race well. The first is that these who are running are enemies of the cross. Probably not thinking of Christians exactly, but Christians are supposed to live to a higher calling with a different set of priorities. Non-Christians live for themselves and for whatever they can get out of life. But the one thing that's true is you cannot live a neutral lifestyle. You are either running the race for Christ or you are running your own race. And you are, as Paul describes you here, an enemy of the cross. That's not your priority. That's not what is leading you and directing your path. He goes on to say their destiny is destruction. There are many people who pursue, perhaps it's a career, perhaps it's other activities, it's other interests, it's other goals, other objectives, but it's not a God-centered or Christ-centered objective. And they pursue that, and ultimately it won't lead them to success. It will lead them to ultimately to destruction. It says their God is their stomach or their belly. And this is not a question of overeating. It's a question of what is it that is your passion in life? What is it that you're aiming for? What is it that you have to feed yourself, your soul and your spirit, your life and your energies with? Where is your focus? Where is your direction? Is it on the things of the Lord or is it on the things of this world and the passions of your own life? We cringe at the criticism that we're sometimes given that we're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Though I actually truly wonder if that's ever a valid criticism. But the other way it goes is probably more accurate criticism that we can sometimes be too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. Our focus is on here. We're distracted from the race. Who is it that cut in on you? Who is it that hindered you from running well? Well, it's sometimes that we're focused on the desires and the passions of this world. Their glory is their shame. They indulge in sin and they delight in that. They celebrate that. They glory in that. We see that in our culture all over the place. Their glory is in their shame. They indulge in sin and they delight in it. The sum total of it is their mind is on earthly things. That's where their focus is. That's what's distracting them. That's what's cutting in on them. That's what's hindering them from running the race. What is it that's hindering you from running the race well? What is it that hinders me from running the race well? It's a serious question we have to reflect on. Paul has some instruction for us here that helps us think about what are some things that we can do to help keep ourselves on the right path. As we move back to the verse 12, there are four suggestions, four thoughts that I want to direct to your attention as to what keeps you on the path or things that you can practice a path of godliness to stay on the path. One thing to note in verse 12, it says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This is the glory of grace. Why are you on the race to begin with? It's not because you were so smart or intelligent or wise to put yourself on the race. It was because Jesus Christ took hold of you. Why do we stay on the race? Why is the race even worth running? It's because Jesus Christ has taken hold of you. So Paul wants to run this race well to the end. And the first thing that he suggests, I have them summed under one word, but then an explanation of it. The first thing is you have to be dissatisfied. That is, you cannot be tied to the present. And the way he phrases it there in verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, not perfect as without sin, but complete. He says, it's not as though I've attained all it or I've reached the end. We reach the end at death or when Jesus returns. Not that I have attained all this. He's dissatisfied with where he is. He hasn't made it to the end. Attained all what? Well, earlier he talked about that his desire was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. His passion and his desire and his goal was to know Christ, and he wasn't satisfied where he is. Now, very quickly, it's not that you're dissatisfied with your life. It's not that you're complaining and carping and begrudging toward the circumstances you're in. Paul was in prison and he was joyful. His circumstances were bad, but he wasn't dissatisfied with his circumstances. He was content in his circumstances, and he's going to talk to us about contentment, whatever his circumstances were, whether he was well-fed or hungry. It's not that you're dissatisfied with where your circumstances are in life, though any reasonable means to improve your circumstances is certainly okay, but that's not his point or his focus. His point is, I'm not satisfied where I am spiritually. I want to know more of Christ. I want to grow more in Him. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with the Lord. It's not where I want it to be. It's just maybe at a good place, but I want it to be even better. I want to grow in the Lord and come to know Him. He's not satisfied with where He is. He wants to grow more. To keep the racing theme idea, the Boston Marathon, one of the significant marathons run in our country. If I ever was actually just entered into the Boston Marathon, which I actually couldn't do the preliminary, but anyway, if I was ever in, I would be happy to just be in it. I wouldn't expect to finish it, and I certainly wouldn't expect to be placed in it. But in the race as a Christian, it's not, we don't want to be satisfied just to be in it. It's wonderful to be in it. But we want to get to the end. We want to run the race. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." The difference between an earthly race, a true sprint and race, is the only one does get the prize. But here's a race that you can run and every single one of you can reach the prize. Grace, Jesus Christ, will bring you to the end. But you can't allow yourself to be distracted or hindered along the way. And so you have to be dissatisfied with where you are spiritually. You have to have a passion to grow. The second thing that he says, he has to obliterate things or forget what is in the past. He says, "I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do," this is verse 13, "forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." And he says, I have to forget what is behind. We have to forget certain things. Now, obviously, we don't forget the blessings of God. We remember the blessings of God. Psalm 103, a great psalm. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." There's no forgetting of God's mercy to us. We remember that. We delight in that. We're very much remembering that. But what do we forget? We have to forget our successes. In other words, not get complacent. I've done pretty well. I'm content there. No, we have to forget that and push forward. His successes are, in a sense, what he was talking about in the early part of this chapter. All the privileges that he had as an Israelite, as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as a Pharisee, and all those things. He had to leave those things behind. But there's other things we have to leave behind if we're going to press forward. We have to forget our sins. Now, we have to deal with our sins. We have to repent of our sins. We have to turn from those sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to forget our sins. One of the things that hinders us and distracts us and gets us out of the way is that of course, Satan's going to beat you up with all your past sins, and you're going to beat yourself up with all your past sins, and sadly, some other Christians may beat you up with all your past sins. But you can't live in the light of your past sins. You have to forget them. You have to put them behind you. Repent of them, receive forgiveness, and put them away. God does. You have to forget the sins of others. Others have sinned against you. And that can become a great burden and bondage to you in your life. You can live every day thinking about what that person did. And that hinders you and distracts you and takes you away from running well. You deal with that. If you have to confront them and you're able to do that, but you might not be able to do that. You have to release them from your personal judgment. You have to surrender that offense to God and not hold a grudge. You can't live and run the race well unless you forget the sins of others. You need to forget your past sorrows. You can't run the race well if you're thinking only about those discouraging circumstances of the past. Those things will cripple you. Past disappointments are past disappointments, and you learn from them, and you gain what you can gain from them, but you don't live and run the race letting that piece of baggage hang on to you. There's things you have to put behind you. You have to forget to get behind you. These negative things and even the positive, the successes, that the things that you were successful in doing in the past, you have to put them behind you to then strain forward. That's the third thing, is the concentration. You have to forget what is behind and strain forward to win the prize for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's the real key. It's the real key in all of this. It's to keep our Christ-centered focus. Christ put us in the race. He's going to keep us in the race, so we've got to keep our eyes on Him. Where is it? Where is your focus? You've got to strain toward that focus. You've got to keep your eyes on that. As we talked about, a runner in the race has to keep his eye on the goal. Charles Spurgeon tells a story about a plowing contest. That would be a foreign concept in our experience, but a plowing contest to see who could plow the straightest rows. And so there were three young men that were part of this contest, and two out of three rows were all curvy. And so the judges afterwards asked the young men, they asked the first young man, what were you looking at when you were plowing your rows? And he said, well, I was looking at the plow and watching it. And it ended up being all over the place. They asked the other one, said, what were you looking at? Well, I was looking at the furrows in the ground. I thought if I could keep my eyes on them, I could keep the plow straight. And his rows were all over the place. And so they asked the third young man who had the straightest rows. He said, what were you looking at? He said, well, I saw a tree at the other end of the field. And I kept my eye on that tree. And I drove the plow straight toward that tree. See, you and I, as we're running the race, what are we keeping our focus on? If we're looking at our disappointments, then the plow's going to go that way. If we're looking at our temptations, then the plow's going to go that way. But if we keep our eyes on Christ, if we keep our focus on Him, you see, then we'll plow a straight path. We'll run a straight race. We won't be distracted or hindered from running the race well. You and I have to keep a clear concentration toward the call which God has given us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And if we do that, even though we're going to face disappointments and temptations, ultimately we'll run the race well. We'll keep on the path that the Lord has put us on. And we have to really commit ourselves to it. Dedication would be the fourth thought. He uses terms throughout this passage. I press on. I strain forward. I press on toward the goal. In Corinthians, he uses the illustration of competing again. He says, in this case, boxing, I don't run like a man running aimlessly, and I don't fight like a man beating the air. He doesn't just wander through the race. He just doesn't just meander here and there, but he keeps himself focused and dedicated and fervent in his focus on running the race. And you and I have to be doing that. You and I have to be committed to the race that Jesus Christ has put us on. He put us on the race. He's promised to keep us in the race. And we need to keep our eyes on Him to get to the end. So you and I have to reflect and think about what is it that hinders us from finishing the race or running it well? What hinders you from running well? What is it that cuts in on you and distracts you from running the race well? Maybe you're not ever, maybe some aren't even on the race. But once Jesus has put you on the race, what is it that distracts you and gets you off the race? You have to have a sense of dissatisfaction where you are, so it impels and motivates you forward. You have to forget things that are behind. You have to concentrate on the goal and dedicate yourself to that. That's how you run the race well. And let me close with one other passage, and I'll just read it for you, but it's another race imagery. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to you for putting us on this race. Thank you for the work of Christ in our lives. We know we need to run this race well. We know that we're not in the race by ourselves. We have other Christians that help and encourage us. We have the Holy Spirit's work preeminently in us. Help us to be alert to those things that would hinder and distract us. Help us to keep our eyes on Christ and focus our attention upon Him, that we, by His strength and by His grace, might run well for the glory of Your wonderful and holy name. Amen.